Well, this is awkward. I'm not sure that our pilgrim Marpeck is here, so I'm not quite sure what to do about this. Are you sure? Well, listen, children, we're not going to have a children's time this morning. This is it. So if you have something to tell us, that would be really helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, this is perfect. I've been waiting for this opportunity a long time. So some of you know that I've been telling the bear story for like 25 years. I won't tell you how old I am. But a long time, I've been telling the bear story, and it's something that was written by James Whitcomb Riley, who's a famous Indiana poet that you all know, I'm sure, who was writing in the late 1800s, and so the bear story is one of his more famous poems. But what you don't know, and what most people don't know, is that so in his childhood, when he grew up in Indiana, he actually made a trek to northern Indiana, and he encountered early Mennonite settlers. And he heard them tell a story about Pilgrim Marpeck and the bear. And later in his life, he took that story and distilled it into the bear story, which is usually the one that I get to tell. But since, you know, today we're here and we've been talking about Pilgrim Marpeck, I can tell the real story that his poem was later based on. So that's what I'm going to try to do here. And I don't have it entirely memorized the way I do the other story, so I have to kind of read some of it. This is how it goes. Why, once they was a civil employee way off in the Swiss Austro-German hinterlands by the name of Pilgrim Marpeck. His conscience got the better of him all of a sudden, and he went off and got himself rebaptized, even though he'd been baptized good enough once when he was a baby. And one day he fetched up his gun and went out into the wild and woolly woods to shoot a bear. Pardon to the bears here. Yeah, sorry. So he was going along, you know, when all of a sudden he heard something go woo. It's that away. Woo woo. And he looked around, and there he seed a great big hairy old scary old bear. Woo! It went again. No, it isn't a bear. It's a Catholic. An old, hairy, bearded old Catholic. And here he come, a-lumbering after a poor old little pilgrim to catch him and throw him in the dungeon and do things to him just for being an Anabaptist. Fact, it's two on him. It's two old hairy Catholics coming after him. Well, he was scared, he was. So he run and climb a tree. A gray big tree. A sycamore tree. He stop and look around. And here come them gray big Catholics a-charging right for the tree. But no, only one of them's a gray big Catholic. Only one of them. The other one's a little weak Lutheran one. But they is both all hairy bearded, and they is both went woo. And here they come, climbing up. Well, no, here come the little wee Lutheran to climb up the tree and get Pilgrim and catch him up. Well, Pilgrim climbed up in that tree, but here come that Lutheran right up after him, so excited he about climbed like a cat. And then, when he got up so close, why then Pilgrim, he take his gun and jab it white in his mouth and shot him. No. No, he don't do that. Because of being pacifist or something. No. He take out his bit of water, supposed to have been for drinking, and sprinkle it on that Lutheran. And say some words about I baptize you. And then that Lutheran's eyes get so wide, and his mouth does too. And he lost his grip and fall spring sprung out the tree and lit white side of where that big old Catholic's at. And then that big Catholic's mad, you bet.
woo-woo, he says, because he's supposed to be the baddest bully in the woods, because no one's supposed to treat Lutherans like that excepting for him, not to mention rebaptizing the little fellas. And so here he come to climb up the tree and get Pilgrim Marpet. And then Pilgrim is badder scared he wasn't in any time, because here come that great big hairy old Catholic climbing up the tree. Well, Pilgrim climbed higher, higher and higher he did, lots higher than he ever did before. And all of a sudden, he heard something saying, psst. And he looked around, and wouldn't you know, sitting out there on a gray long limb is a Hooterite. Just as twitchy and prim as a bird. And waving him off to get out of there, and quick, before anybody see him up there too. And for a second, Pilgrim looks at him all helpless and pleading. And then the Hooterite size him up all disapproving and hiss at him and sharp and scoldy. Oh, you can sit over here on my branch, but you got to do exactly like me. Pilgrim didn't like the sound or the look of that. So he fished in his pouch and pulled out a little old pamphlet, one he wrote called A Clear Refutation, and throwed it at the birdie Hooterite. And he'd jump up and bat it away and squeaked and squawked some. And just then, he heard a guffawing kind of laugh from somewhere else nearby. And he looked around, and there out on another branch is a jangly-limbed monsterite. Hey, you can come and sit with me. I can use a good arm like yourn, and I like the look of that gun, too, says a monsterite. But Pilgrim, he don't like the looks of that monsterite none too much either. A little too loose in the jowls and hammy in the fist. And he hand over the gun, though just to kind of settle the monsterite's wild-looking eyes down a bit. Kind of a strange peace offering, I know. But right away, wished he hadn't, because who knows who else might still be hanging around in this tree. Could be one of them Swiss brethren. Maybe even some bears. Speaking of which, here come that hairy old Catholic. So close, he could feel his hot breath against his feet. So Pilgrim, he pulled out his water jug again, yank off the stop, and set to baptizing that old Catholic, he did. No, he don't do that. Because when he baptized the Lutheran, he dumped out all his water, and then there's no longer any water in the jug. But he chucked the jug down at the Catholic, and then he tear on up that tree as fast as he can get, higher and higher and higher and up than most church steeples is, you know. But he can't climb higher than an old Catholic can climb, because Anabaptist hunters can climb higher than any old Anabaptist in all the world can climb. Pretty soon, he got to be careful way up in the teeny-weeny tip-top of the tree, or the branches will break down with him if he don't be careful. So then Pilgrim knows he's got to get out of there some ways. So he make up his mind and give a jump for another tree he does and land way over in Strasbourg. No, he don't do that. That ain't real enough in the incarnational world, you know. Now, I'll tell you what he do. Why then he find a hole, it's in the tree, you know, and he climb in there to hide. And then when the old hairy Anabaptist hunting Catholic come up there, he knows Pilgrim's hid somewhere around there. And he begin to sniff and snuff around, and snuff and sniff around, so he can find out where he's hid at and catch him. And then, pretty soon, he goes snuffing way out on a long limb, way, way out, and then Pilgrim, he pop out his hole and fish out another pamphlet he wrote and throw that one at the Catholic, Expose of the Babylonian Whore, and wallop him right upside the head. And then he fall all the way down, bling, blank, and splung, clear the way down out the tree and bust and kill himself on the ground and land right next to the little old wee Lutheran. And when Pilgrim see what happened, he felt awful bad, you bet. And he meant to crying and climbing down the tree and climbing and crying just as if he done lost his own soul. And never noticing all the while them two other fellas done took the advantage and skedaddled out of there, lickety-split to some other place. But he went on climbing and crying. And, sir, when he's pert nigh down, that old Catholic jump up again. And he ain't dead at all. He's tending that away so he can get Pilgrim and catch him. But Pilgrim, he's too smart to climb clean down out the tree. And that old Catholic can't climb back up the tree because when he fell, he broke one of his, well, he broke all of his legs, he did. But he just won't go away and let Pilgrim come down. He growls around there, he does it. He just growls around the tree and tear up the ground and go, woo, woo. And poor Pilgrim, he have to stay up in the tree all night long and without no supper neither. Only that monster had come back in the middle of the night, riding the orneriest old donkey ever, and offered to shoot the Catholic with the gun. But Pilgrim say, "Nah, it ain't Christian." And the monster I say, "Well, maybe Christian ain't what you think it is." But I like you all right anyhow, so how about I throw you up some apples and you throw me down some money? And they both done it, though it weren't easy, on account of that bucking donkey. And that's how donkey basketball got started. Long time ago, and that's why we still celebrate it today from time to time, like all good Anabaskets. Boo. And Pilgrim is at apples all night long and cried and cried. Well, when it was getting on toward morning, all lights as you can see, you know, that old Catholic jump up again, his bed hair wilder than ever, and he go, woo, woo. And he tried to climb up that tree one more time to get Pilgrim, but he can't climb to save his soul. And ooh, he is mad. He just roll around on the dirt on the ground. He's so mad. Till presently, he fetch up again that pack of papers that Pilgrim throwed up at him in the tree. The one about getting somebody exposed. And when he see that, he pick it up and start to read it with his squinty little eyes. And he think maybe he can use it again, old Pilgrim, you know, turn his words around on him and catch him in the act, kind of. But when he go to read it, he never guessed what it was, and he guessed the words turn around on him, he did. And Lord, if he don't kind of crumple to his knees with his mouth hanging wide as a barn door and a look of heavenly dumbfound on his face. And then Pilgrim, he comes skipping down out that tree, and he grab up his water jug, and it ain't empty at all. I just said that. He take it and pour some water on that sweet old Catholic and baptize him up. Yes, and he rebaptized that Lutheran again, too, he did. Yes, and rebaptized all both of them again, he did. And just then, that Hooterite and that Monsterite and several other kind of Anabaptist folks happen along. And when they see what's going on, looks like a rebaptizing party. Well, they want to join in, too, with their hallelujahs and have a piece of the action, so to speak. But Pilgrim, he won't have it. No, he say, we ain't going to have none of this dividing folks out into different views and factions no more. No spiritualists and no legalists, because Christ was a flesh and blood body just like you and me and had to make grown-up decisions for himself just like you and me. I got me an Anabaptist vision to make us great again, all getting along, just like, and then he stopped and counted on his fingers for a moment. Well, just like a few years back, he says. And well, he was kind of right, because look at us now, most 500 years later, spread out all over the world, meddling in all kinds of other folks' business, practically running places like Goshen, Indiana, and Philadelphia, Paraguay. No, we never did seem to get over schisms and breaks for one thing or another. At least we got a sense of humor and learned to laugh at ourselves. You know that famous Anabaptist sense of humor. It's what everybody thinks is when you tell them, "Hey, I'm an Anabaptist." And they always say, "What a joke." So Pilgrim Marpet fetched them two rebaptized Anabaptist hunters, Lutheran and the Catholic, out in the woods. And he and them and his family finally all made it to Strasbourg, wherever that is. And they enjoyed whooping up some more kinds of trouble there. But he never did get a bear. And that's all.